Spawnily is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bricago, y'all.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, everybody in Bricago? Hope you all having a wonderful week. We are in the mix. It is literally 3 or 4 days away from Christmas. Actually, by the time you hear this show, Christmas is already passed. But this is me, Khalif Adams, on the Spawn of Me podcast, hosted and rocking with you. It is me, Khalif Adams. I am excited to be rocking with you all this week because we have a fantastic show. We have a banger of an episode. If you missed last week's episode, please go check that out. Please go, because I had like some really, I think, decent, reasonable commentary on the state of the world, the state of Twitch, the state of all those things. If you want to hear more about how I feel about, you know, nudity on Twitch and all that other good stuff, go check out last week's episode because it was definitely a banger. For me, it was a really good week. I think it's always busy. It's always kind of flowing here and there, and everything is kind of moving in a lot of different directions. And, you know, one of the things that I've been working on in a big way has been trying to get Spawnies in the best position ever for all of you at home to be able to make sure that you're doing that work. Right now, if you are listening to the show and you have, you know, listening to the live show, if you're listening to the post-recorded show, this does not apply to you. But if you're listening to the live show, right now, you have literally one more day to vote for Spawnies nominations. The nominees for Spawnies are ending on Friday. We're recording this on the 21st. On the 22nd, those will be over. So if you have not voted for your nominations for the Spawnies, please make sure you get that in. Go to my profile on Twitter. Go to the pinned tweet. And there's a whole list of the categories there. Go into those. Go into each one of those links. Reply with the game that you want for that category. And your nomination will be tabulated. And then on the 12th of January, I believe, we're going to have me and Rihanna. We're going to be doing our nomination show live on the front page of Twitch. So make sure you're checking that out and going in support and doing that work there. I am really excited because this week, it is very rare for me to have a co-host on the show. It is one of the things that I love to have a chance to be able to do. And I can think of no one else, no one better to be able to do that work with than one of my favorite folks within the gaming space. And that person is Cam Final Mix, the man, the myth, the legend. We have Cameron Hawkins on the show, rocking with us here today. What's good, Cam? How are you doing, fam?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be a part of Spawn on Me more moving forward, as I've like entered a full-time role in the PR space. So like I'm still able to do video and audio stuff, and you were like, yo, let's do it, when I asked you to collaborate more moving forward, so I could kind of keep this kind of I like being in the space. I like talking about video games. I like, I think people like what I have to say, because if not, I wouldn't be doing this still. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see like what we're going to be able to do together, going into 2024.
Well, first of all, again, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for raising your hand and saying, yo, I want to do more stuff with you. And I it's a thing that I really enjoy. And again, you know how much I love you. You know how much I love your work. You know, I think you are brilliant. I have no idea what's happening in Kingdom Hearts. That's a whole other conversation that we will have at another time.
That is a whole other conversation.
Whole other conversation. But I think in totality, you continue to be one of the dopest folks in this space, and it is a pleasure to have you as my co-host, and for us to be able to do more work down the line in 2024 is going to be a lot of fun. First of all, how was your week? How are you doing? How's everything going?
It's good. You know, just last work week before the holiday break, which is really nice. It was my wife and I's 7-year like relationship anniversary. We got married in May, but we've been together officially for 7 years as of yesterday. So we went to I took her to a steakhouse like dinner, and like this year's been really crappy in general. So I was just like, yo, I'm just gonna treat us. Like we're just gonna have a really expensive meal and just do what we want, you know what I mean? So that was a fun night. And yeah, you know, just playing more video games. on top of that.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this has been a really prickly year for a lot of us, right? I think one of the things that has kind of come across has been just how difficult it's been, not only for, you know, all of us as individuals, with the world being what the world is, and especially if you're a member of the video game industry, it has been extremely hard and even more difficult for a lot of folks in there. But I'm really happy to see that, one, you have landed in a really fantastic spot with your new gig. Always happy to hear about folks being in love and all that kind of stuff. It's always great. So congratulations on your anniversary. And I think, you know, like, this week has been a really kind of rough week for a lot of different folks in multiple ways. And I think to talk about some of that stuff, let's go directly into the 411 and talk about some of that. So let's do the 411. First up on the 411 this week is all about Insomniac Games and the wild hack that we saw come across the feeds over this week. It has been a really busy, you know, conversation in terms of a lot of what happened, the scuttlebutt around the folks affected, and the social media response from the industry, and especially the folks in the gaming journalism space. I want to get your take about, like, what, you know, what are your thoughts about kind of the overarching story about what happened at Insomniac this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, a super multi-layered topic, especially in the games writing journalist space. As someone who, like, you know, got my degree in journalism, there's been an ongoing discussion of, like, what was right to report about that leak, what was wrong to report about that leak, and kind of balancing this sense of, like, reporting versus the, like, kind of morality of the situation, right? Where you know, a lot of personal information was leaked, and, like, that sucks. And there is it's like, how do you handle that in a tasteful, appropriate way? And the internet has like a lot of people that I respect when it comes to their opinions on these matters. Like, there was a wide variety of opinions of, like, again, of people that I respect equally. There are some people saying that, like, yo, y'all shouldn't have reported this at all. There are some people that said you should, you know, you can report this, but don't report the contents of what is in the leak. And then there's some people that are just like, no, like, you report everything. Like, that's just how the game works. Like, that's just how journalism works. Like, it's unfortunate. And it's like those things, you know, like, the idea of, like, you can report the situation and still care about what those people, like, you know, the team at Insomniac, and not even just the team at Insomniac, people that used to work at Insomniac, that you care about those things, and, like, you think that's a terrible situation that they are in. And so it really is a juggle fest of, like, different opinions, and I think that there are valid points across the board, you know, and that might also just be due to, like, my journalist education, right? Like, you're just taught, like, hey, like, it's, you kind of have to, like, take the emotion out of, like, your, when you're reporting things. And and so for me, like, it's one of those things where, like, I do kind of side on the idea of, like, yeah, you should just report what it is, but also just, like, recognize that this is a crap situation regardless. And I do think this leak in particular has opened up a lot of other conversations and potential conversations moving forward about how we handle leaks, and, like, what makes this leak different from previous leaks? Because, you know, historically, there was a big leak in 2020 with Capcom It was, you know, it's a Japanese company, and Capcom, their leak was very on par of the, like, the kind of information that was leaked, like personal information of employees and stuff like that leaking. But we, you know, there was no discussion about, like, that kind of, like, integrity behind, hey, should this be reported? Should this not be reported? You know, and that, again, that opens a whole nother discussion on why did that not happen? Is it like we've evolved, like, as an industry significantly over the past 3 years? Is it because, you know, because we're Western media? Like, and this is someone who, you know, is a big into JRPGs, is really big into Japanese games. Like, I very much see that outside of maybe Square Enix, maybe, like, we are a lot more lenient, I feel like, on or a lot easier to, like, make decisions that affect Eastern developers, because it's just like, oh, that's kind of like a different territory. And so it's like, is that a part of it too? It's just like, we haven't changed, but, like, this is just like, oh, Insomniac is our home base, right? So, like, we want to protect our home base. There's a whole different, there's a whole myriad of different things that we could, like, conspiracize about, like, you know, what I mean? So that's kind of, like, where I'm at with everything right now.
Yeah, I think for folks at home who may not have the kind of latest information about that, again, I think my personal stance for Spawn on Me and for the conversation today is not going to be about what was taken in the personal information layers of it. But sure. I do think that there was a really good article that was posted by Nicole Carpenter over at Polygon that gives a really nice kind of summation about some of the things that were happening. So on December 12th, and I'm going to read this verbatim from the article. So if I'm not looking at camera, you'll get it. On December 12th, a group called Risita, was this hacker group, or this ransomware group, Risita, basically tried to blackmail Insomniac for 50 Bitcoin, or what is equivalent to about $2 million, for the data that it was holding on to and had stolen from them via the dark web, via some hacking, via all that stuff. It was basically almost 2 terabytes of data that they got from almost 1.3 million files, according to the cybersecurity website Cyber Daily. There were a ton of things in there, everything from snippets and gameplay progress footage from the in-progress gameplay from Marvel's Wolverine was in there. There was some upcoming discussions about the future roadmap for games that were coming out of Insomniac. There were other parts of that were in that mix about salaries, all of those things. Again, personal information was taken across that conversation. And the idea about, like, what was the totality of the damage that was in there, I think, and I'm trying not to conflate that with the other story that we're going to talk about in terms of GTA 6, but it was a fair amount of not only data, but devastating information that was extremely personal for folks that were working there and folks who were, again, like Cam said, are no longer there. I think for me, the most interesting part of the conversation that popped up over this week has been kind of in the industry conversation, like how folks within those parts of the space that we're trying to think about that scuttlebutt. How do you talk about this? How do you then discuss this in a reasonable way? And I felt like there was so much energy kind of put into the discussion that felt a little bit unnecessary. Like, it felt like folks were tying themselves in knots, trying to figure out ways to not get themselves in trouble when you had a lot of that conversation from the journalism side and from the media side saying, you know, this is a piece of news that is, you know, the contents are out there. So it's no longer like we're just tapping into and searching for and digging into data that is not easily found now because it's part of the public domain. And you had a lot of developers across a lot of space saying, if you cover this and you share any of this information, we are going to put you on our kind of this the shade list, right? Like, we're gonna it's literally like if you went into an RPG and you're like, you have that moment where you did a thing and it says on top of the screen, I will remember this. It was literally that from a lot of folks within the industry, and it wind up feeling like this like wild turn of events where everyone was doing the Spider-Man meme at each other and being like, no, you're wrong for covering it. You're wrong for even looking at it. You're wrong for discussing it. You're wrong for doing this. When in the grand scheme, and Cam, tell me if you kind of rock with this train of thought. At the end of the day, I think most folks in the journalistic space, and if you're doing journalism in kind of the most traditional ways, you want to make sure that you're kind of doing less harm by reporting on a thing in a way that feels ethical. And that word gets thrown around a lot in these conversations. And that's also an interesting landmine when it depends on your ethical values, what do you think about the totality of the incident, and how do you want to kind of approach it? And then you have that layer where folks who are doing that work can see and foresee that, like, oh, well, these are conversations that, like we've said, have been covered before. And what makes that so different now that this is a much larger leak with more personal information kind of in there? Were you surprised by the kind of infighting that we saw across the journalism space, media space, and a developer space?
It's really hard to say. I guess I am surprised in the sense of, like, I am surprised that it got to the discussion of, like, you know, certain outlets being like, we're not going to talk about the leak itself. We're going to talk about, like, why this is harmful.
Yeah.
Ultimately, and this is for, like, whether you're a journalist website or if you're a content creator with a video show, it's your prerogative. You know, newsrooms can decide, like, hey, we're not going to report on this. GameSpot did not report on this, like, in the same way. But I also think that when it comes to, like, to me, if I were to have to report this, and they're just like, hey, like, there was, like, no, like, filter on what I couldn't say. Mm. Like, I would have reported, like, the gaming related leaks. Mm-hmm. And I either would have, like, just, I would have said, like, personal information was leaked and not gone any more into that.
Mm.
And just like a blanket statement of, like, personal information was leaked, or I wouldn't have even mentioned it at all. Cause, like, it's just, there's nothing, like, what's the story there? What, mm. like, what's the story about, like, hey, these employees, like, public information is leaked. Like, that's, or not even public, like, private information. Yeah. Like, you know, there was an Insomniac dev or a former Insomniac dev that said, like, hey, like, I just got, like, a credit card ping and, like, things like that of that wasn't from me, that people got from the leak. And it's just, to me, and that's, like, a whole nother thing, right? Because initially when I was, like, hearing these conversations, I was like, damn, yeah, like, this really, I just want to, like, clarify, this does really suck. But I was, yeah, like, leaning towards, like, yeah, they shouldn't say anything about personal information because that's just fanning the flames, right? Mm. That's just making, like, that situation worse. I was talking to some of my other journalism friends, and they were asking me, like, how is that making, like how is that really making things worse? I'm like, well, like, you know, if people see this, they can try and look up, like, people's information, and, like, and it's just like, and they were trying to say, like, this leak is not going to be the end all be all of, like, someone going to do that. Like,
yeah.
And I think that is likely, you know, I do think that's likely, but just still the idea of that being accessible now, right? Like these people's lives are borderline potentially ruined because their address is available. Their identity fraud, like, you know, can happen now. And so, like, that's what really, I think, sets this leak above, like, the other leaks that we normally see outside of the Capcom one. I think the Capcom one is, again, on par that I mentioned earlier. But, like, I think that this is just, like, a step too far of a leak where there is, like, a, hey, how do you approach the personal information leak on a journalistic level, and a reporting level? Because again, like, and the last thing I want to mention is that, like, because the thing is that there are Insomniac people that are openly, you know, saying, like, hey, this is, I fell victim of this, and that's their consent to do that. So, like, when it's their consent that they're, like, saying, like, hey, my identity's been stolen, this, that, and the other, like, that's their choice. That's their prerogative.
Right.
And one thing that I actually feel like I haven't seen a whole lot of discussion about, which I'm very curious about if you've seen talk about it, but I feel like after the hackers, of course, like, hacking this information, we should really be talking about Sony. We should be talking about how Sony, like, failed Insomniac and, like, needs to better their infrastructure. Cause that's, like, I mean, that's, like, a big thing in general that's been talked about, like, especially since this leak, is that the gaming security infrastructure, like, is really bad. It's really poor. And so, like, if this is happening to Sony, like a PlayStation studio, like, imagine how easy it'll be for almost any other studio for this to happen. So, like, I think that, like, Sony is, like, the one that should really get a lot of this blowback that's happening in general. And, like, I think that just because I feel like because the reporting is what people first lay their eyes on, that's where a lot of the energy has been pushed towards. And I'm not saying that there isn't validity toward, like, there's no validity to that, but, like, when we get to the root of the problem of, like, why did this happen in the first place, like, I think there needs to be a discussion about Sony and how, like, they need to better their stuff so that this doesn't happen again.
I think there's multiple layers of that part of that conversation too, and I personally want to be careful with that specific layer, only because, and I will preface this by again saying I used to work at a company that was acquired by Sony earlier this year. I know that Sony is very, very tight about the way that they manage information in a lot of different ways, and, you know, OPSEC is a really hard job. Like, if you're doing that kind of work, it is extremely difficult because they're, like, you're being bombarded, especially if you're in that layer with that big of a company that is so high profile. OPSEC work is really, really difficult. So if I were to delve into more of that conversation, I would love to have an actual expert on the show to talk about that, who is doing that work on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
But I know that the breaches that companies have to try to fight are constant, and it is always hard to stop everything. You can't stop everything all the time. These things happen from time to time. And I don't want to fully just be like, well, Sony dropped the ball on this. I don't want that to be the narrative that comes out of this episode, because I just don't know
No.
And I'm not saying that that's the way you're talking, but I've seen that conversation happen a little bit this week. It has been, well, what's up with Sony's, you know, security and stuff? And I was like, well, no one knows what the deal is with their security except for Sony, right? And this cat who, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the GTA one later, but we're seeing this cycle happen again, where in a year where a lot of big games are being talked about, in a year where a lot of big games are being discussed, I feel like that's growing too, where these hackers are now doing this work to try to find breaches and find holes and stuff, but there have been random things that are leaked over the past year. I do want to go back into a part of the conversation that I thought was really, again, kind of troubling and interesting, looking at it from the multiple hats layer of this conversation. I think if you're, again, if you're a journalist, I think the easiest way to kind of combat this is to begin to talk about the parts that are kind of public, and you can't put those back in the bottle. I think you can discuss some of that stuff, and I think there is a layer of reasonable information that can be found and discussed within that, because one of the biggest things that a lot of folks in this industry do who are on that side of the fence is try to find ways to give glimpses into the process of making games, right? And in a weird way, seeing what a roadmap looks like, seeing some of those potential projects that are coming out at what part of the year and what does that mean, when a lot of conversations around what is the current state of the industry and is it sustainable from a project perspective, from a budgetary perspective, from a personnel perspective, which is the hardest hit right now. Seeing some of that stuff and seeing some of that early gameplay can give a small glimpse into what the process is. And I think for the folks who are the most strident about not seeing any of that stuff, I think the fear is because any of that information that goes out, gameplay, budgets, any of that stuff, when it goes into the public space, a thing that we have constantly seen is that players and internet quarterbacks, you know, armchair quarterbacks, constantly get the filtering and processing of that information completely wrong, right? Like, people will have seen an in-progress animation screen or video and instantly be like, that game is ass. That game is going to be bad. That game is going to suck, because they don't understand how the process of making games works. So that is a dangerous thing, because that then continues to fuel misinformation that people will then run rampant with, and developers then have to do the extra labor to kind of squash that and repackage that information when it winds up coming back to the marketing layer, and when you do get a chance to actually showcase that work. I think the thing that I keep rolling back to is, this doesn't feel like a hard decision if you're in the space and covering this from any angle. Journalists at a media site, someone like, you know, me and you, who are kind of more in the enthusiast press side of conversations, and also we straddle that line sometimes of being an influencer in some of those conversations. Because I saw that bubble up a lot, which was a little bit frustrating, right? Where the idea that like folks who were doing that work well, who actually care about the industry, shouldn't have a take on any of these things because of the potential for malpractice or for, you know, people to kind of take that information and run with it for profit, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that the boundaries that people are really fussy about is that Venn diagram of, so what does it look like for journalism in 2023 going into 2024 in the gaming space? What does it look like with that blurring of the lines that I saw a lot of people really be angry about or fussy about when it comes to folks who are in that content creator space and want to talk about this from a reasonable perspective? I think there are various levels of that, right? Various levels of conversation that come from people who are worth their salt. Like, I think we're a part of those folks. I think, you know, Gamertag Radio is a part of those folks. I think Kind of Funny is a part of those folks. And so what does that mean for that blurring of line of, like, what happens when news gets broken? And I think I have a little bit of beef about the conversation that, like, you know, content creators calling themselves journalists shouldn't call themselves journalists. I agree with that layer of it. I do think that the work, though, has been more democratized in a lot of different ways. Like, I think if you were to think about, if I were to say, because I go into all these conversations when I go and apply for a press badge or apply for, you know, access for certain things, there are two layers. There's a press layer and there is a influencer layer. In the press layer, I have an expectation for either earlier access to information, the ability to get hands-on with things earlier than a content creator would, and access to the development team to be able to talk to them about the project, right? Those are the things that I, as Khalif Adams, Spawn on Me, the enthusiast press, am looking for, to be able to better showcase that balance between the video game world and the player. If you're a content creator, there isn't a lot of stuff there for you besides just covering what is being talked about, so you can potentially get more viewership, so you can have more people watch your stuff, and then that process continues to filter. If you're a journalist, the thing that you have over all of those levels, at least in my opinion, Cam, tell me if you think this is off, is one, you have a layer of believability when talking about some things, talking about some aspects of the work and some aspects of a project or a conversation that you want to have. Two, you have a higher responsibility that comes along with that role, because there are things that go along with that. Like if you roll up to a developer and say, "Hey, I want to do this article on you," there's a belief that like you're going to make sure that the sources are protected, you're going to be as truthful and honest and unbiased as you possibly can. You're going to try to do right by the story and try to put that in the best light for the work itself. And I don't think that there's a lot of difference between what journalists do currently and what some folks in the enthusiast press can do if they've proven themselves to be trustworthy and understanding of the industry and doing some of that work. What do you still think that there's a little bit of strife that happens between that journalism layer? And when I think of that, you know, there are some really good people who are doing great work. Like I think Jason Schreier, Kat Bailey, Rebecca Valentine, you know, Imran when he was more in the mix on that side of the fence, Imran Khan on that side of the fence, you know, Giancarlo, all those folks doing that kind of work. I think of hard journalism and journalistic work, I think of those folks, right? Everybody else in the mix, we're not that different than what, like, Enthusiast Press is not that different than what some of the other folks are doing in that space. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about, like, do you feel like there's still more strife in there because those lines are being blurred more and more these days? And to be fair, journalism isn't given the credence and the reverence that it was given before because of, you know, the ideas that impropriety have been happening over the years, or the ideas that, you know, bigger conversations are being missed in that space. And to be fair, you know, if we think about how many stories in a year really get tagged with "this is really good investigative reporting" as opposed to just opinions on a thing that are happening, those are very few in a year. Like you get 5 or 6 of those a year. And because they take a long time to research, a long time to develop, a long time to get all the sources together and all the information. But then there isn't a lot of actual news in the video game industry that happens every week, as opposed to what we all do, which is share opinions with a reasonable amount of information and a lot of life experience. What are your thoughts about the kind of, you know, that give and take between the enthusiast press and the kind of journalism layer right now?
Well, when it comes to the investigative journalism side, like I think a big part of that is there are very few people, and you've named off basically all of them that have that kind of pull to, pull in the sense of like they can release these stories. And those the companies or developers or whoever it may be that is associated with that story are not going to just like blacklist them because they know that that is going to be an equally as bad look on them. So in the reality of things, like, you know, we talk about it pretty often, like this industry is incredibly small.
Yeah.
Like people might think that it's big. Like there's plenty of content creators. But like when it comes to the journalism side, when it comes to the enthusiast side, like yourself, like very small amount of people.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to like, you know, the kind of like idea of like your place in this Venn diagram of journalism versus enthusiasts and stuff like that, you still do things that journalists do. Like right. you may not break out stories. You report on the stories, right? And this is and you've said it several times. This is a radio show.
Yeah.
What do radio shows do? They report on the news.
Yeah.
You don't you know, and like even when you watch news in the morning, like, you know, some news like the local news, sure, like it's going to be someone local that reports on it. But if there's national news, they're sourcing that stuff, right? So like, so in my eyes, like you are more of an enthusiast, right? But you still do things that journalists do. You still get exclusive interviews with people, and those become stories sometimes. And like, you do things that like contribute to that journalistic side of things that like, you know, you're a journalist, you know, you're to a certain level, you are a journalist as you are an enthusiast, you know, and you play with all of the outside of written, you play with like video and audio journalism. You know, you like, you were working at the Game Awards, after the Game Awards, like anywhere I saw you, you were interviewing people, right? You were talking to people. Like, what is that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so you know, you're doing the work. And I think that there are very few individuals in this space that do the kind of work that you do. And so like, I think that it is pretty clear. Like, I personally think that you can watch like the first 5 minutes of like someone's content and recognize if they're in this enthusiast journalistic space that you are in, or if they're a content creator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so like, I think it's pretty clear as day. And I'm sure that, but I'm sure that like, regardless of that, that is still something that you struggle with. Like, you kind of like, you might get a little bit of imposter syndrome sometimes, like trying to be like, oh, I want to fit like these certain boxes and try to not feel like I'm just this one box. Because again, very few people do what you do. And so it's hard to like, I'm sure, like, I don't know, right? But I'm sure it's hard to like, get into that right, like, zen of like that right level that you want to be at for the content that you make. Because you are a content creator, but you're not like a content creator in the same way that like, I'm saying like, oh, this is a person that's just like giving their opinions, and like, that's really it. You do more than just that.
Well, I try. Like, I think I personally get frustrated with the conversation around, well, if you're a part of enthusiast press, you shouldn't be classified as a journalist. And mind you, I don't prefer the term journalist for me and for what Spawn of Me does, because I honestly feel like it boxes you into a position that isn't fun. Like, I want to go into this space being able to tell, like, speak truth to power in ways that make sense to me and to my ethos of treating people well, and being able to expose good information to the audience and the gaming community as a whole. But the constraints that come along with saying you're a journalist, even if I'm doing similar work, feel constraining for me to be able to do some of the things that I feel are also a part of the conversation. Like, yes, there is this very strident line that people believe, and I don't subscribe to this, that you can cover a thing, be compensated, or work to a thing, or work with a company and do that stuff, and still not hold their feet to fire. Like, immediately, if you are working with a space, that your whole ability to be unbiased is tainted in that way. I personally just don't believe that, because the amount of stuff that I may get from a company or working with a team or doing that stuff, like, I'm versed enough in the way that development works, at least in the small time that I've been in the industry, to be able to say, well, oh, I have a better understanding of what this developer is trying to do in this instance, because I've talked to 300 plus, you know, 200 plus devs over 10 years, have worked at a couple of studios and understand some of the minutia, right? Like, I'm always learning, and the ability to kind of do that work and be that in, that bridge between what traditional journalism is and what you would think of as enthusiast press makes the work that I hope to do even more robust in that way because I don't have to think about some of those layers. Like, yes, I've absolutely had conversations with developers that will never see the light of day. There, you know, that's the same thing as protecting your sources. I've had guests who are on the show. We had Zoe Quinn on the show that took a year to be able to talk to them about their experiences way back in the day. And the confidence that was built between us in those discussions would be exactly what you would think that you would want to have from a journalist who is like protecting sources and talking about stuff in that way. I've gotten in a ton of trouble by being vocal about the process of what, you know, games can be and you know, giving feedback to developers and games about like the game wasn't that good or this thing didn't hit or that kind of stuff. So I think that there's an interesting layer there that I continue to see kind of propped up about the importance of journalism and how it is trying so hard to not be enthusiast press while also kind of shading enthusiast press, which I think is a really weird layer of interaction between all of those pieces. Now, again, I do think that there's a conversation there about developers then being upset with the journalism layer of it because of them having this tried and true ideal of, well, even if it hurts people, it's the news and you got to talk about it. And you got to report on it, right? That's a balance that I think is really weird, right? Like, I think it works for some folks. And I think if you're really holding yourself to the highest levels of journalistic practice, yeah, in your heart, you're always like, I want to reduce harm. And it's weird because in a weird way, holding your sources is a way to reduce harm, but also sharing information that individuals don't want you to share is worse than what most folks would potentially do if they're paying attention to the enthusiast space for the enthusiasts who actually give a shit and care. Of course, those journalists care, but I think they have a burden of being that person who's a truth teller in those ways that I honestly don't think serve the audience in the fullest ways either. Like, again, if you're a person who's doing that work and you're like, I need to report on every single detail for the audience, does the audience really care about all of those pieces, or is it just for the record? If it's just for the record, I get that, right? But does it actually benefit the audience in a real proper way? I wonder if that's a part of the equation in folks' head, or if that's just like, well, I've given myself this job, I've given myself this title, I believe in that version of the work, and because of that version of the work, like, doctors have to take the Hippocratic Oath and they have to do certain things to make sure that they're continuing to hold that up. Does it still feel like that burden is worth it, even if you do wind up harming people? That's a good question to ask folks who are in that space, and I think that's a thing to mull over for anyone in that space. And I would love to break that down with some of those folks who we mentioned earlier to be like, well, how are you still thinking about these particular practices? Because the biggest thing that everyone talks about is like, well, don't take swag or don't accept gifts or any of that kind of stuff, because that takes away from your journalistic integrity. And I'm like,
it's a lot. Like, it's, you know, especially when I was like writing, like, anyone who knows me knows I am an absolute Kingdom Hearts sicko, right?
Yeah.
And I reviewed Melody of Memory, which was like the music rhythm game that came out a few years ago. Yep. I think it was the last game I reviewed when I was at Dual Shockers.
Yeah.
And I gave that game, I think, like a 7.5 maybe. And like, people were like coming for my throat that I was just like, you call yourself a Kingdom Hearts fan, but you give it a 7.5, or like, literally I saw a comment where they just posted a bunch of other site scores, and I'm just like, what are you trying to do? Like, you know, like, and so like, it's one of those things. The point I'm trying to prove is that, like, when it comes to journalism and when it comes to the enthusiast side, like, it does not matter. Like, it doesn't matter like what we get sent. Like, if you have a personal thing where you're just like, oh, that feels bad to me, that's fine.
Yeah.
And like, I know people that are like that, and like, that's totally okay. Like, but I am not going to review a game and give it a higher score or talk about it in a higher regard because they sent me things, or because I'm a huge fan of that franchise. Like, I like, it's just, if that game did not meet expectations, and it's just like, this is what it is. Like, and when it comes to like your side of things as well, like, I'm sure, and like, you know, this, and this is just like a whole console wars thing, like, up, yeah, you're in Sony's pocket, up, you're in Xbox's pocket. It's just like, no, it's just because we get these opportunities does not mean that we like think high, like, we're gonna like talk more highly of their games. Like, I've never gotten any opportunities from Sony.
Sure.
If I got an opportunity from Sony for a game and I didn't like it, and they in turn like never gave me opportunities again, so be it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the reality. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna like lie about games, you know, just to get opportunities. Like, that is the last thing that you want to do. Like, that's just like such a wrong, disgusting like way to try and get higher, you know, on the totem pole in this industry, or like to become more notable or anything like that. Like,
it's infantilizing.
You just gotta be your authentic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's infantilizing to like grown people to think that you lose all integrity instantly when you're given something or being paid for something. I understand, yeah, that sentiment. I understand that reasoning, but it also makes it seem like you don't have a brain and you don't have thoughts, and you can't be discerning about what that means. And again, I say all of that because I think at the fundamental layer for me, and a lot of the conversations that I see, is one, that infantilization of the conversation about like integrity, because journalistic integrity and integrity are the same things. It just depends that you have a title that is different. Like, and you have a rule set that you personally abide by that may be a little bit different than that conversation. But the second layer of that I think is just weird is like, it also speaks to the lessening of the emphasis and need for some layers of journalism within the space talking to an audience again. Right. I go back to that conversation about like, is the information that you're giving people something that they are, that they find worth
taking away.
Yeah. Like, are you pulling good takeaways away from it as the yeah, watcher, as the viewer, as the consumer of that content that makes the space or gives you more information about what you're actually trying to think about in the totality of it. And I think there are very few pieces that come out in a year for this kind of strife that we saw during this week, from the, yeah, relationship between developers, relationship between the journalism kind of group and the media layer of it. And it was just really weird to see how all of that stuff just kind of came up and bubbled up in this way. And I was like, this is kind of unreasonable and unnecessary in a lot of ways. Like, that was the thing that kind of came away from it. I was like, all this fussing and fighting is just wild unnecessary, because if you're doing the work and you're reporting on the news in the way that you feel like you need to, and again, I love the way you talked about it earlier, about like every newsroom will do this work to figure it out, then all of this extra kind of navel gazing and we need to stick to this thing just doesn't, it's like a lot of wasted energy when, again, the real story is things got stolen. There's some data about that thing that got stolen, but the real story is about the human toll and about the folks who are harmed in this manner that we shouldn't talk about because it's not helpful to the conversation, right? So it's just a very weird week in terms of what that is. Any, yeah, any last thoughts before we head over to our break?
Yeah, I just wanted to like talk one last time. Yeah. Because we kind of like got into two different discussions.
Yes.
But I want to talk about like, yeah, like, I want to say, like, I don't see you as, like, I would not label you as a flat-out journalist. Same. I just think that you do, yeah, like, because that's what you said. I was like, I just wanted to make that clear. I would not label you as a journalist, like verbatim, but you do journalistic things. You, yes, like, you implement journalism into your content.
Yes.
It's not, you know, it doesn't have to be black and white like that. It's, like, same thing, like, with the content creation side. Like, the things that you kind of, like, expect to see from a content creator is also in your content. It's a mixture of both. And that's what I think, like, this enthusiast press term that you're saying is, like, is what that is. It's a mixture of both, because you do put in the work. Like you do more than just like say like here's what the news was for this week. Let's talk about it. You do more like you know you go higher level things again. Like you do reviews, you do features on you do interviews. Like you do things that that we expect from journalists. And so like, and yeah, so I just like, you know, I think you do great work. And again, I think there's very few people that do the work that you do, especially like in the format that you do it, right? Like you mentioned like Gamertag Radio and like Kind of Funny, like they do that to a, I would say, a lesser degree than what you do, but like they also do it in completely different ways, in my opinion, than what you do. And I think that's great, because that gives like audience to choose. Like they have different options on like how they like their content presented or like relayed to them and things like that.
And I want to thank you for the kind words. And two, I want to make sure that like the folks at home who are watching this on twitch.tv/monami and folks who are listening in audio format, this conversation, when I talk about all of these things in reference to me and Spawn on Me in that work, I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm trying to make this conversation about and we didn't even talk about the damage that happens to that layer. And I want to talk about that actually before we go to break.
But yeah, no problem.
The lived experience of the way I work is very rare. There, like Cam said, there are very few people who are doing the work that I'm trying to do in this space. The thing that I come away frustrated with is this overarching narrative and overarching feeling that Enthusiast Press's work is less than what journalists in the traditional sense do. I think, yes, if I was just a cat who was on YouTube, who was running down the stories of the day and talking about those things from a place that was uninformed, that would be more of what you would think of like influencer kind of conversations. Me as a person who has worn many hats, both in front of camera and behind the scenes in my 9-to-5 work in the gaming space in the industry, I have a little bit more information about how some of the things work, and at least an idea. Or I will bring on people who are smarter than I am to talk about that thing very specifically, because I think that that levels up the conversation for the audience in a way that is actually beneficial to all of you at home. I do think that bridging to that, because I tweeted about this and got a little bit of heat for it, was I think that these kinds of leaks also do hurt everyone in the funnel, right? I think it hurts developers because their information got stolen and they lose a sense of safety that winds up being in that mix. I think folks on the marketing side and on the PR side look at these leaks and they look about who's sharing it and who's doing that work and bubble that up to folks within their studios to say, we now have to tighten the reins on how information is disseminated, on how information is shared, because we had this big breach that literally shared our whole roadmap and a whole bunch of information that we would have built planning around for basically the next 5 to 7 years.
Right? I was gonna say, like, probably like through the PS6.
Yeah, like 1,000%. Yeah. Like the stuff that's coming down at the end of those roadmaps, definitely probably gonna be in at least a new hardware territory, right? And if you're a person who's in my space or a person who's in that content creator space, you are a person that is tied to the access that goes along with that. That's a conversation that we've seen in the journalism space of like wanting to decouple that thing. But to be fair, that's not the way it works. Like you can want that to be the way it works. It just doesn't work like that. Like you need some access to be able to do a thing before it comes out, to be able to get that to work for your site, for your company, for that media outlet, to be able to say, we have pre-release preview stuff, or we have other stuff. And again, there's a lot of discussions about like how PR and marketing will hold stuff from you, how there's a lot of, you know, ties to what that is. There's a lot of deliverables that go alongside that stuff. That's a whole other conversation. But all of these hacks and this stuff, I would not be surprised if you see a lot less previews next year. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot less of access given to folks who are not big name folks. And that then changes the way that information gets disseminated, because then it gets funneled into a group that is just the biggest names of the biggest names again, which is a thing that we were moving away from in the past couple of years.
Which I would argue we're still there.
1,000%. Yes, keep going.
I just think that they're, you know, when previews come out, you see all the same people get those opportunities. Sure. And it's nothing against like the people that get those opportunities, but it's just like there's just like so many people that I know that are doing really good work, and granted they don't have like a huge audience, but they're doing really good work. And like Kate Sanchez, but why though, like
brilliant,
super great site. And she's consistently putting in the effort, just for example. And like, I just hear over and over again that like, just they're just not getting the opportunities. And it's just like, that really sucks to see. And again, like, no disrespect to the people that get these opportunities, because like, it's great and it's progress. When it comes to like people of color, like I see like the same people of color getting the same opportunities, and it's just like I'm like really happy for them, but like let's get some more people in there, like let's widen it up a little bit. And so like, because I don't want to go onto a huge tangent, but like I'm pretty sure I've talked about this with Paris. I'm pretty sure I've talked this with you, like outside of this, like when it comes to, you know, again, people of color, like I can name like the people of color that are like notably known in this industry on one hand.
Yeah.
You know, on this side, it's like you, Paris, Blessing,
Danny,
and Danny, but like, there's also like black creators too. Black creators specifically.
Yeah, there's like five of
like,
us.
It's just like, yeah, exactly. So it's just like, that's three. That's three. And so like, it's just one of those things where, I would really love going into next year, we see like more people get invited to like those press events. Like, cause like, you know, at PAX, right? PAX, you get a lot more, access to trying out these games, cause that's what they're there for. Right. Mm. Those are public shows. And like, I personally had to really work my way into SGF this year. Granted, it was as a freelancer, but I was like, yo, people like know me. People think I do good work. Like, you know, like what can I do to get in here? Like, you know, so I think that just going into I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. Cause like everything that you're saying makes so much sense. It makes so much sense, like that, especially Sony, who's already really tight on the rope, tight on the leash about giving people opportunities, that like, see, I really hope, because I feel like Xbox, right, has been really open to giving people opportunities. I got a code for Starfield, which I was just like, whoa, what?
Yeah,
I got a code for Forza Motorsport. I was like, whoa, yo, what?
Yeah.
I just think like, that going into next year, like, I hope that continues. We get like, you know, it is little progress, it feels like, every year, but hopefully it continues that way and it doesn't revert back because of everything that's happened with Insomniac. So
I hope not too, because I think like, you know, I am very lucky to be in some of those circles, and I think the thing that I talked about last episode, which is a reason why I'm very sad about E3 going away, was a lot of the relationships that we have built, you know, at least me and Paris and Danny, I can't speak about like Blessing, because I remember when Blessing was doing OK Beast, that crew was amazing at what they did. I don't know if they were getting a lot of the access that you know, Bless is getting now because he's connected with and been working with Kinda Funny, which again is like a much bigger outlet in terms of what that scope is.
It was a huge step up.
Huge
it was
like step a, up in a lot like of ways. You're working with Greg up. Miller and Tim Geddes and all those other folks. Like, these are very well-known, bigger platform folks, right? So then you automatically get the runoff of some of that work alongside Blessing doing fucking phenomenal work on his own, right? That's the reason why he got pulled into that fold, because he's brilliant. But I hope that, like you said, that doesn't happen in a lot of different ways. But we are also the folks who always get cut first when it comes to the tightening of the information belt, right? Like, so many of us, it has taken God knows how many years for me and Paris and other folks to even get to the spot where, for the most part, we know a lot of people in the PR side who can get us what we need to get to. And a lot of folks understand that our work is really important in those ways. And we get to bounce off of that stuff. Those face-to-face meetings that were happening in those spaces, like SGF now, right? E3, you know, before, even going to GDC under press, you learn a lot about the negotiations and networking that happens in that. And that gives you a bolstering space to be able to do that stuff. But if you can't attend those face-to-face shows, and because COVID ravaged the world for the past 3 years and still is going, a lot of those changes in relationships weren't as solidified because you're doing a lot of that not face-to-face anymore. You're not shaking hands. You're not kissing babies. You're not getting that time with people to let people know that you are trustworthy and worth the time and effort to do that work, which is, again, a whole other story to be able to get into that. And the fam, Jarrett John in the chat says, I hope Microsoft gives you KH codes. I hope he gets Kingdom Hearts codes.
KH codes in 2026 or something. 2026. I don't know. I think it'll be out before 2026. I think it'll be out for 2026. But, you know, it's going to be a minute.
It's going to be a minute. Well, before we get into our break, I'm going to do a thing that most journalists can't do. And I'm going to do an ad on my podcast. Do that way. If you've not been following all the goodness that has been here with the Spawn of Me podcast over the past couple of weeks, you've been missing that. Our friends from AG1 have been sponsoring our show. Again, I have been in the mix with AG1 for a minute now. I have been using it, you know, for almost a month now at this point, kind of getting all the pieces that I need from that. Again, I've been using it as a nutritional supplement, as a way to kind of balance out my gut health. It has been really fantastic to be kind of a part of my morning ritual at this point. And one of the things that I've been doing as a way, because I've been going to more conferences now, is I've been looking for good ways to boost my immune health. I think that's been really good to be able to get all those vitamins, all those nutrients in the space at the same time. So if you want to do some of that work as well, please go check out drinkag1.com/spawnonme. That's again, drinkag1/spawnonme. You can get your 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively again at drinkag1.com/spawnonme is the place that you want to go for all that goodness. So we're going to be back. We're going to have our last story of the week in the 411, and we'll be right back after this. Hey everybody, Khalif here from the Spawn of Me podcast. Hey, we have been in the market for new PCs for a long time, and for our 10th year anniversary, the wonderful folks from NZXT have partnered with us in a collab to be our hardware sponsors. So if you are looking for a new PC to stream or to game in the best way possible, go check out nzxt.co/spawnofmebld and you'll be able to find a perfect PC for you, whether that be the Player 1 machine, Player 2 machine, or Player 3 machine. The ones that we're rocking for our new studio build, they have everything you possibly could need for the best PC experience on the planet. Remember to go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld and it will get you set up right. Much love and peace. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast. I'm your host, Khalif Adams, and I'm rocking with the fam, the man, the myth, the legend, Cameron Hawkins, rocking with us here for Spawn on Me episode 502. If you missed the first half of the show, you missed a really good conversation, and you missed me saying Happy Negro Solstice to everyone. Yeah! I hope you all got your powers. Hope you got all the goodness that's coming to you, all the things you got and that you deserve. If Negro Solstice is our reparation, I will take it, but also I want to check from the government. That's what I want for so I can get all that stuff together. So Our second conversation and last one for episode 502 is all about what happened with the GTA 6 leak that happened a little bit earlier in the month. Again, if you missed the GTA trailer, it is blowing up the internet in the biggest ways. Many, many folks were looking forward to this being the thing that got shown during the date that Rockstar wanted to, but that sadly got leaked a couple days earlier, or a day earlier, based because of a hacker, an 18-year-old hacker coming from a group called Lapsus. Lapsus Money is the name of this group. Lapsus dollar sign. It's like tie dollar sign, but a hacker. So this 18-year-old was a part of this hacker group, which attacked Rockstar, which attacked Nvidia, and attacked a couple of other companies. And a piece written by Ethan Gash over at Kotaku talked about him being sentenced to life in a hospital prison. And it's, oh man, this is a really interesting story too, because the scuttlebutt around the industry has been very, very weird. And I think it's been weird, especially looking at the information that just came out of the Insomniac leak and hack. And to be fair, the vibe of the industry, because again, this is the people that I follow, a lot of folks in the industry, was this is a really terrible incident that happened. This is awful for the folks that happened at Insomniac. We want this prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And now we're seeing this story come out about Aryan Kutaj, who was arrested by London police in Oxford of September 2022 for engaging in some hacker activities prior. And what wound up happening is he got caught. He got put into, I guess, a hospital jail. He was also diagnosed with acute autism, which I think is a part of the conversation of why folks are looking at this also and potentially being a little bit more lenient on him, saying, hey, this was a young man who had potentially the rest of his life moving forward. He did this act. He did multiple acts, and also life in prison, in hospital prison, seems a little bit harsh for what this is going to wind up being. They said that he was unfit to stand trial because of his acute autism. A jury later determined that he was responsible for the hacks. However, if they were not, they were not allowed to determine if that was criminal intent alongside of that. Supposedly he used an Amazon Fire Stick. Shout out to Amazon Fire Sticks for being the hacker device of choice. But the thing that I came away from this was, one, he said that, you know, or at least the authority said that when asked, they said he was highly motivated and that he expressed the intent to return to cybercrime as soon as he was possible to do so. And alongside that, from a piece from the BBC, there were multiple layers of ransom that kind of went alongside this conversation as well. You know, he and the rest of that group were asking for ransom from Rockstar. They had hacked other companies. There is also a conversation about potential stalking from folks, and maybe and I think this specific person in the mix. You know, Cam, what are your thoughts about, like, this person getting caught in the kind of sentence that he wound up getting?
So I don't know about the length of time, like it being lifelong. I think that is, I feel like that is only, I don't want to say only, cause like I'm surely only thinking of like a small list of crimes off the top of my head right now. But like, I think like any sort of like, I don't think that hacking, things like this is something that constitutes a lifelong, result, in a jail or in this case, a hospital. But I do think that like he has made it clear, despite, you know, being autistic, that like, he wants to continue doing this if he gets out. So I think that, you know, that is clear enough. Like, you fucked around, you found out, and like they made a sentence. And I don't think that sentence should be a lifelong sentence. I definitely think it should be timely, and I think that, like, you know, hopefully being in a hospital, like, will help potentially better himself, his motivations, as he, like, if he does get released. Because I mean, like, and this goes into a whole story about, like, what prison was initially meant to be, and it was supposed to be rehabilitation, and, like, so, like, this is what that is, right? Like, again, like, lifelong. And that's a whole thing with it being in the UK and, like, yep. UK laws, and, like, we're not knowledgeable about that. We're from the US. So, but for me, it's like, I think that this is kind of best case scenario, because he's actually getting some sort of rehabilitation and not just being sent in a prison with autism and, like, likely going to severely suffer in that environment. I think that sentence will be lessened over time, regardless if whether he's, like, that gets better about what his motivations are after leaving. I just think that a lifetime is a very extreme sentencing. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
And I want to clarify and preface again. I want to make sure I'm getting all the facts straight before, you know, continuing. There was the hack that he performed in September 2022 that was a hacking spree that ended with tons of in-development footage from Rockstar Games being unleashed on the internet, and he pled not guilty at the time and later stood trial for cyber crimes associated with the hacking outfit, that included breaches of Uber and NVIDIA, and in addition to leaking the previously unrevealed blockbuster GTA 6. Now, that was from the Kotaku piece. From the BBC piece, supposedly the amount of information that was taken from those three companies cost those firms nearly $10 million. And that's not insignificant, right? Like, I know that there's a conversation for people to be like, well, you stole from a corporation and that doesn't matter because corporations aren't people. Sure, I get that. But also, if you look at the human element about what that means if you're a person who worked at those places, OPSEC, you have to then, again, like we talked about with Sony, there are people who are working those avenues who potentially could have lost a job because there was a breach. Those folks have to go through retraining for some of that stuff. So this, like, time, effort, and money, and I know people like to do the corporations aren't people, so why do we give a shit? But, like, there's always a human connection to any of this work that happens when you go back into those spaces. So I want people to kind of remember that as well. So they had already taken his laptop because he was already kind of under the scope of the law because of that work. They said that he stole 90 clips of the unreleased and hugely anticipated Grand Theft 6. Again, 90 clips is a lot of data, a lot of information into there. He broke into the company's internal Slack messaging system to declare, if Rockstar does not contact me on Telegram within 24 hours, I will start releasing the source code. That's it. That's extortion. Like, you can't, like, that, like, you're, for everyone who's like, well, he's an 18-year-old kid and he did this thing, and because he's autistic and because of all the stuff, like, 18, you know, life in a hospital prison or a hospital, is it a hospital prison? In a hospital, under a hospital order, seems excessive. I get that. I understand that. But also, like, are we going to say that, like, in a space in which, I think one of the conversations that we consistently come up across is when the press gives space for these stories, the idea is we don't want to do these stories and we don't want to put these stories out because it just incentivizes people to become copycats, right? I understand that. That makes some sense. Is there credence to that? Who knows? Because I don't have the data on that, right? I'm speculating on a lot of that stuff. This person said that, or at least the BBC report says, Rockstar Games alone told the court that the hack cost it $5 million to recover, plus thousands of hours of staff time. They had a text that basically showcased the ransom, or the try to get the embezzlement, which was like, pay us all this money or we're gonna drop the stuff. and share it. They also said that he stole money directly from individuals through cryptocurrency wallets. There was a $4 million ransom. And that as well as hacking offenses, the boy was sentenced for what the judge described as unpleasant and frightening pattern of stalking and harassment of two young women. Again, this is coming from the BBC report. Now, again, as a person who... as a person who hates to see punitive sentencing for minors and for young people for mistakes that can potentially be corrected through rehabilitation and, you know, through life giving you the space to be able to do some of that work. Like, yeah, I think the sentencing is harsh. But also, with all of those things that I'd listed out, embezzlement.
Yeah.
Potential harassment. Yeah. You know, it's not like this was a young child who stumbled upon a hack and decided to go fishing for information for any of that stuff. This is a group of folks who were doing crime and decided that they were above the law and decided that they wanted to do all these things in an effort to gain monetary, you know, compensation for stealing shit that they weren't supposed to be touching in the first place. So, like, I get the sentiment that I've seen across a lot of my fellow peers in the industry of, like, this is too harsh. But also, my hope is that if this story goes out and we see that this has happened, there is no, like, if I was a person who was going to hack somebody's stuff at this point and be like, oh, you got put into jail for almost life, hospital, you know, into a hospital jail for life, I would rethink it. At least I would hope that people would rethink fucking around and finding out. Am I wrong for that?
Yeah. No. Like, I definitely think that, like, he deserves a lot more time, like, required time in that hospital after hearing all of that.
Right.
But lifelong, that's the where I'm like, I still don't know if I co-sign that, but definitely like some required time regardless, like a significant amount of required time.
Here's another piece of that from the chat, because I want to, again, want to make sure I'm getting this all this right. From Rebecca Valentine's report on IGN, the trial concluded with Kurtog being sentenced to an indefinite imprisonment in a secure hospital with the potential to be freed if doctors determine that he is no longer a threat to others. Again, that speaks to the conversation about rehabilitation if they're doing the job that we hope that they are going to do. But if he doesn't, and this is the sentence that he got as an adult, again, 18 years old, you are technically
an adult. He's an adult. Yeah,
even as a layer to dig into that, right? Like, I don't even consider most 25-year-olds to be a full adult yet, right? But I'm 45. I have lived a little bit longer than most of those folks. Even at 18, though, you do have a level of discernment. Again, if you want to have the conversation about, like, does his autism change the way that he might have thought about doing that work? Or maybe there was a layer there. And again, I don't want to get blasted because I am not fully versed in all the levels of the way autism works. And I don't want to get, you know, beaten to the ground.
100%.
We're doing that stuff because, I'm speculating. But as an 18-year-old, who has decided to join a hacker ring. It's a weird hypocrisy that I'm seeing in the conversation, right? Like, I think if you found the Insomniac folks who hacked those people and were like, yo, they got life imprisonment for doing this kind of work that hurt hundreds of developers in a space with no worry for their safety, I think most folks in the space, even if you are anti-jail, anti-capital punishment, anti-all of that stuff, you would be like, yo, throw them under the jail, though, right? But this cat, who's a young kid, but is still an adult, did a thing, made multiple steps to continue the thing, and didn't show any remorse and said, yeah, I'll do it again. I don't know if I'm on team, don't do the thing, right?
I think the biggest factor is just we don't know, like, autism is different for everybody, and the severity of the autism, like, that there's just, it's just such a big question mark in all of this, right?
100%.
I don't know this guy's personality. I don't know, like, how he handles social situations, because yep. when I think about it, like, before I was 18, I knew that, like, I ain't gonna be doing any type shit that's gonna like serious crimes, that, like, that was before I was an adult, like, yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't care that, like, I don't care that the man's an adult, like, he's an adult, right. But when you put in the autistic component, like, it's just such a huge question mark. We don't know, like, how things are, but, like, if he's still in the headspace, though, that, like, yo, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna continue doing my thing, then you said what you said, homie. You said what you said.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
And so I think that, like, again, I do think that he should have a required amount of time in that hospital, regardless if he. Regardless if he gets better, like, or he's in a different headspace, he should still do that required time, because you don't know what's going on, and also just, like, the crimes that have been amounted to, that's just like how it is. And also, the UK is, like, I think the UK is pretty different when it comes to crime. Like, you know, when it comes to resulting of crime, like, you know, I think that they might be a little bit more, like, lenient when it comes to, cause honestly, like, I don't know if this guy was in the US, I don't know if he would have gotten that leniency to be like, yo, you're going into,
he would have went to hospital. Jail. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so,
went to jail.
It's just one of those things where, He at the end of the day, he fucked around, he found out, hopefully, you know, and the thing is, like, sentencings can change, right? So, like, sure. they can monitor his behavior, and if he doesn't get, like, any better, or, like, even tries to try and find any sort of progress in this rehabilitation that he's having, potentially for the rest of his life, they could be like, all right, you're required to stay here for this long now. And yeah. See if his attitude changes. It is a lot of, like, we don't know who this guy is. We don't know what his personality is like. And when you're in, like, that kind of space to try and retool yourself in society, that's on you, dog. that's all on you.
I want him to get the help that he deserves. I think all humans deserve help in that way, especially with his condition. But I do think that there is it was a really interesting, just, you know, observance of the ways people looked at this from our social media lens and from many peers in the space. That I know if it was on the other foot, and especially if it was with another developer, or if it was with, you know, again, something where direct developers were harmed in the same ways that we saw in Insomniac, I don't think people would be as lenient on him as they are talking about now. Because I saw a lot of folks being like, you know, who could be for this? I was like, I've done so much to not be caught up in the system. I'm not saying I'm the proxy for everybody, but, like, even in my worst days, I wasn't like, yo, I'm gonna be a hacker and try to steal and embezzle $2 million from people. Like, like, there are repercussions for your actions, y'all. Like, you gotta also understand that that's real. We don't live in a society where everybody gets to get away with shit when they do bad things that they weren't supposed to do. I'm sorry. That's a reasonable thing to say. Anyway, we're about to get up out of here for this episode of Spawn on Me. Cam, you have been amazing and brilliant as always. I know you have some things you're working on. Get a chance to plug what you're working on and any of the stuff that you got going on in the future. What's up?
So I'm now doing PR for Apogee Entertainment. That is, like, my day job now. But I'm still free to do video and audio content. You won't see any bylines from me for the foreseeable future. you know, I'm not here to promote Apogee, but, like, you know, All I'm saying is just like, you can follow us on Twitter. I think it's Apogee ENT, at Apogee ENT. You know, we got games coming out. I'm not going to promote any of the specific games. That's not what I'm here for. But that is our Twitter, and you can do all your own research after that. And you can follow me on Twitter at CamFinalMix. I am writing a book on Kingdom Hearts with Alexa Ray Correa, who is a narrative designer at Cliffhanger Games. Yeah, Cliffhanger, right?
Yep.
She's helping write the Black Panther game. And that should be coming sometime in 2025. We have still all of next year to finish that book. So that's really cool. And if you want to kind of get a taste of what our book is going to be like, Alexa's already written a book on Kingdom Hearts. It's Kingdom Hearts 2 at Boss Fight Books. You can buy it on Amazon for like $12. Really great read. And I don't like to read, if that gives you any perspective on like how much I like the book. That's basically what I got going on. And again, like, me and Kyle are going to be doing a lot of stuff moving forward, going into 2024. I think like with me being here, you'll get, because me and Kyle have very different tastes in video games. We definitely like line up in some places, but we have very different tastes. And I'm hoping that I can bring a missing like space of games of coverage here, as not only like a black person, but like also a black person that like loves Japanese games. Like there aren't that many of us in this space. So I'm really looking forward to talking about that. Like the first quarter of this year of 2024 is just JRPGs galore. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be blessed with JRPGs next year. So I'm hoping to be on here a lot to talk about those. If you're looking forward to like, Infinite Wealth, Persona 3 Reload, Grand Blue Relink, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, like, and then there's even more like later in the year coming. So, I'm really excited to be a part of this. I'm gonna shout out Ka, because like, for those that don't know, like, Ka was the first person in this industry to take me like to like really feel me, like make me feel included under his wing type thing. Like, I will never ever fucking forget that. And I'm always so appreciative of Ka and like the work that he does for people of color, on top of myself. So thank you, Ka. I'm really looking forward to this next year.
Well, I'm hyped as fuck to get a chance to do more work with you. I think not only because I get a chance to talk to you more and hang out with you more and do stuff like this, but again, like, I think our audience has really been asking for this too, of like, your work is going to fill a very important gap in the coverage that we get a chance to do from someone who is so knowledgeable about the space and understands all of those things that I fully don't. Like, I will be completely transparent about that stuff. Like,
100%.
You have an angle on this work in a way that I totally don't, and it's going to be fantastic to see your angle on all of this stuff. So expect to see lots more of Cam on the show, hanging out with me and doing some of that work. You might even see us doing some stuff live in the field at some point too, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. So I'm going to let Cam go for this episode of Spawn on Me. And before we let you go, in total, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been here rocking with us here on twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. We've had a really fun and engaged chat tonight. So if you're not watching the live shows, make sure you're going to twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. Make sure you hit that follow button. Check us out there. Some brilliant, fantastic work on our YouTube channels as well. YouTube.com/SpawnOnMe is a place you can go check out that work. And again, it is so much fun to dig into these conversations. It is so fun to be able to give, I hope, what is a valuable layer of insight that I have, that Cam has, as many folks in this industry have, and sharing what our lived experiences are in doing this work, so that we can make this space feel better. I think the information that was happening in the industry over this past week wasn't great, to be fair. There was a lot of backbiting. There was a lot of finger pointing. There was a lot of shade being thrown. There was a lot of, if you don't do this way, we are going to put you on some weird naughty list where we're going to mentally put you in some space where you are either not looking out for the greater good or not feeling like you're safe in the ways that we hope that you would be. And I think that is, that does a huge detriment to layers of the conversation that could be had, because when you talk to people like that, all they do is turtle. And they decide to not be vocal about their positions and their stances, where we could really be doing some good work of building bridges as opposed to burning them down. So with that being said, I hope you had a wonderful rest of your week. We may not see you until after Christmas, more than likely until after Christmas. So if you celebrate, please have a happy holiday. Please be safe. I hope you get some time with your family and friends and be able to do that. Happy Negro Solstice to everybody out there. I hope you got your powers today. And we'll have more Spawn on Me coming to you next week with some good, amazing conversations coming to you live from here in Chicago. Go vote for the Spawnies. If you're watching the live show today, Friday is the last day. Go to that pinned tweet on my Twitter page at Khalif Adams and make sure that you are voting for your games to get into the Spawnies. And then January 12th, we'll have our live nomination show on the front page of Twitch. Time to be determined. We're trying to figure out exactly when to get together to do that. But you can't tell me that your game wasn't nominated if you didn't go vote. So I want to hear it. So make sure you get those votes in. All right, everybody, wash your hands, wash your butt. We'll all see you very, very soon. If you're watching here on Twitch, stay around for about the 10 minutes. We'll have a quick little post show. We'll hang out with Cam and talk to chat. And everybody else listening in podcast form, please go check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the places that you get all of your gaming podcasting goodness. And until then, see you very, very soon. Much love to you all. And peace.